does it already record? That's what I was going to ask because I can.
Does it what?
I can do a screen record.
No, it's going to record both. Welcome to another episode of the Fluffy Chronicles podcast. My name is Liz Barlow. I'm your host and creator. And today I have two, but one on the way. Very, 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 very funny women who are going to share some stories with me that I hope are funny, but not embarrassing, because most of my stories just be embarrassing. Anyway, so of course, to my, I don't know what this is going to look like on the screen, maybe left, right, whatever. We have Cakes, who is a very, very, very talented artist, stand up here in the 757. I don't actually know where you're from, but
I'm originally from Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, okay, God bless it. And then we have our auntie OG down at the bottom, Apple Brown Betty, who has been literally everywhere and more places, I assume, will happen in 2024. How are you all? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you feeling?
Okay.
That's my auntie ass answer.
I'm blessed, highly favored. Great. This is like my great-grandma used to answer the phone every time with praise the Lord. The Lord. So that was very much a praise the Lord ass answer. Right. I'm great. I'm just tired, you know. All of us have children. Kara also has children. That's the one comic we're missing from Richmond. Oh, I forgot to mention, Applebaum Betty is from Richmond. She's from the 804. We're all Virginia comics, so that's all that matters. I wouldn't have it any other way. But all of us have been working really hard. As you know, the Fluffy Chronicles podcast is a dating podcast. We talk about dating and relationships. And I'm going to ask you the first question off top. Are y'all single? Are y'all dating? What's the status?
I'm single and actively dating. Seeking, I guess.
Actively seeking a partner or a friends with benefits or?
I kind of just kind of let that be determined on a special case-by-case basis. So
gotcha.
If you're like, I want to hump you and that's it, then you get put in the I'm just gonna hump you box. If I want to date you, you know, I actually want to dive deeper into, then I'll put you in the maybe we can go somewhere with that box. So.
Okay.
I'm out here doing my thing.
You're out there doing your thing. Bet. What about you, Apple?
I'm in here doing no thing.
Okay, gotcha. Great.
And it's not even by design. I don't date much. Like right now, I'm not dating anybody. I don't have no man calls my phone to talk to me. There's nobody house I go to. Nobody come over here. My cat just walked through the frame. That's the man of the house.
Okay.
I am all the cliches. I'm living all the cliches. I'm focused, it's grind time, all that stuff. But it wasn't like a conscious decision not to date anybody. Nobody asked. You know, men seem to be afraid of me. And I'm settling into the comfort with that. You know, I used to try to soften myself, try to make myself appear more approachable and stuff. But no, because if you're scared of me, it's nothing I can do with you right now.
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean that men are afraid of you?
That's what they be saying.
I'm scared of you.
And this is across the board, okay? And I don't know who's going to watch this, but first of all, let me, for context, if there's any hoteps watching this, I married a Muslim at 18 years old. There's nothing you're going to tell me about being feminine or being submissive or any of that bullshit. I read all the books. I ate all the beans. Fuck yourself. What I'm here to tell you, what I need everybody to understand is that when I say men are afraid of me, that has been the assessment that has come back from men that I've, while I've been dating them, men who have told me this after we finished dating, my platonic male friends have told me that I'm a little scared, but it's like my homeboy Devin back in the day told me, he was like, niggas ain't got time for no smart bitch. That really sums it up. He was like, you tall, you dark skinned, you walk fast, you're well-spoken. That any nigga who got ill intentions, they're not gonna stop and fuck with me. So anybody who has like shown interest in me, we lock, we rocked for years at a time because they were intentional about being with me. But like the niggas that's just out to fuck, I don't seem easy to fuck. So that's why I don't get a lot of that attention.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So what, I guess I'll answer my own question. I am very single and I'm trying to date. I'm terrible at dating, hence this podcast. And this is the longest relationship I've ever had, me in this microphone. And I also haven't had sex in a year. Mm-hmm. Not for lack of trying. Mm-hmm. I be trying. Mm-hmm. I be trying to go get the dick. During the summer, I always have a little cachet of coochie coupons that I keep, you know, for the bi girls or the lesbians. I was trying to cash those. Women are way too complicated, and I just don't be feeling like it. Listen, I'm here to be a white woman in Kohl's. I have my Kohl's cash, mm-hmm. my coochie coupons. Mm-hmm. I would like to cash those and go back to men where I belong. So I'm just single. And I guess ready to mingle, but not for real. I have a whole lot of icks. I'm 33. I have a whole lot of icks. Like, I recently discovered one of my icks is, like, do not ask me, can I cook? Of course I can cook. I'm from the South. Listen. Of course I can cook. Don't ask me, can I cook? Because I know what's coming next. Oh, I haven't had a meal in a long time. Oh, so wish I could eat something. The only thing I can cook is crack, sir. I don't know how to make anything else. Okay? It's a little Colombian dish. Little cocaine, little baking soda. You ever heard of it? Like, I don't know how to do anything else.
I wanted to speak on that one in a second when you finish.
I'm done. Go ahead.
So, that's what I did realize is that I have a lot more sex than my friends. Like, all of my friends. I'm having enough sex for all of us here on this podcast. I will tell y'all that. And I did say it is the icks. It is always the ick. So, and that's why I started to put men into categories. Like when I like, okay, I have an ick about you. But like, I don't care about anything else outside of your physical because you're not in that criteria. So I'm not even thinking about you or looking at you in any other light. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't see myself going that long. Like, I just have guys that I put into categories. Like Betty said, okay, you have guys that are easy to, you know, girls are easy to fuck and things like that. Yeah. But when you already put people in that mind frame of, oh, he's sexy, I would fuck him. And then I end up fucking him. It's like, oh, okay, but it's like nothing more, nothing less. Thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate that. Don't call me, I'll call you, okay? And then, you know, and then I have the guys that I really, really, really like, and I'm just completely befuddled, deer in here, headlights. It's like night and day. It's like, if I like you, you'll know it. If I don't like you, you'll definitely.
You'll know also it. Know it. You just won't. You just won't get another chance at it.
Yeah.
I want to pause super quick. I want to welcome Kira Denise, who finally, she got it together. Hey.
I had to muster up every bit of education I had in my body. All the wasted years. I got it, though.
Kira Denise is also from Richmond. She's from the 804. Or, am I correct on that? I don't want to misplace
absolutely
nobody.
You are, absolutely.
Okay. From the 804. I'm in case you don't know, I'm from the lovely city of Virginia Beach. Great town, lots of high schools. Don't worry about it. Anyway, we were in here. The first question we asked is, are you single? Are you dating? What is your status at this moment?
I'm single, I'm dating. I may not be successfully dating right now, but it's, you know, I got a dog in the fight right now.
You have a dog in a fight. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying. I'm 32, so you kind of get what you can get at this point.
I feel like
at this age, we're at that awkward phase where, like, I could date whoever I'm talking to or their dad. I'm like,
right. 1,000%. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm at that point where, like, 43 ain't all that bad, you know? Like, maybe. Girl, I'm like, all my little preferences are, I'm broadening my horizons.
The door. Yeah. Okay. I have a diverge question because I didn't have this on my list. Is anybody actually interested in getting married? Do any of you all want to get married? I know you've been married before. Do you want to get married again?
I mean, I think about it because I need a tax break. My kids.
Understood. Yeah.
I don't have no kids to claim. So, like, you know, single, I didn't get into all the tax codes, but single people really do get fucked, you know, when it comes to, like, the taxes and stuff like that. If you're single with no kids, it's just, like, take it up. This ain't tax time. It's take it up the ass time is what it is. So if I were to get married again, it would strictly be, because marriage is a business contract. That's why you got to go to court to do it and go to court to undo it, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, when it comes to all those, like, warm fuzzies and stuff, I don't think about it in that light anymore. You know, I'm trying to pay off my house and afford insurance is what I want to do.
Yeah, that's always nice. What about you two?
Really fucking matter.
Yeah.
I am looking to get married one day, and that's why with my dating, I am very intentional about, like, keeping my options open. I'm very intentional about, you know, still putting myself out there. Definitely working on myself in the meantime, like, you know, doing shadow work, you know, fixing whatever it is, just basically ultimately, like, trying to be my best self so that way when it does happen for me, I'm ready. Yeah. So that's basically what I am doing, because if you find yourself still dipping back to Mr. Wrong or that your favorite munch or that one that you always find yourself back into, but you, like, completely shut your options off, it's like you're not, like, putting it out there, you know what I'm saying, putting the energy out there, like, I do want something for real, I do want something, you know, that'll last. So if you're not actively dating, I just, you know, see a lot of women making that mistake of wanting to find love but not really putting themselves out there and opening their heart up to such ideas.
Yeah, because these niggas is hoes.
Yeah. I'm a sucker for love, and I do believe that there might be
somebody,
someone,
yeah,
for me. So I'm still looking, I'll be honest.
What about you, Kira?
Hell yeah, I'm trying to jump the broom. What? I'm not. Eventually, I mean, but we're what, 2024 now, so we jump in the vacuum. We might be jumping the Swiffer. But
okay. All right.
But yeah, of course I do want to get married one day. But with me, it's a little different because I have two young girls. So when I think of dating or how I go about dating, I always have to consider them. And you know, because kids are they attach to who shows them love. Yeah. And I just have to be wise about that because I don't want somebody around and I am benefiting from it, but my kids are not being fed, if you will. So, and then two little girls at that, niggas is crazy.
Niggas is crazy.
So, yeah. I'm going to stay a free woman.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, let's get to it. My first question as stand-up comics, because this is the reason I know all of these wonderful women. Do you, when you're dating somebody, you're getting to know them, do you tell them up front that you're a stand-up comic? I tell niggas I'm Batman and I'm saving Gotham at night.
I do.
And the reason why, the moment you tell a man that you're funny and you're professionally funny, there's about three options that could happen. One, he gets super tight, like, well, damn, she don't think I'm funny. No, I don't think men are funny. This is very, you know, it's very noted in my life. However, you have other things that you bring to the table. Yeah. Two, they now think that they can out-funny you.
Always want to
That
is, and they want to hit you with the jokes. That, yeah, my friends told me I should try stand up. You should try it and fail so we can stop having this conversation. Okay. And three, they just brush past it like it's not something interesting. They're like, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I do this and do that. It's like, hold up, nigga. I performed at the Apollo. We're going to acknowledge that I'm important, more important than you. Okay. Thank you. So I just tell niggas I'm Batman. It's much easier.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity because I haven't really, hold on, I might be lying. Hold on, let me back up. So I've been doing stand-up for 3 years. So when I started doing stand-up, I was seeing somebody that was my, that was Mr. Raymond Earl down in North Carolina. And he would tell me all the time, you know, I don't think you're funny, but I support it. But here's the thing. His favorite thing about me, like in layman's terms, is that I'm funny. When I started pursuing it professionally, I knew it was a mind fuck for him to tell me he didn't think I was funny because he still wanted to, because he's the funny one in his circle, right? Mm-hmm. So he wanted to keep that kind of, that check and balance kind of thing. Now he would buy me anything I want. I got a $500 heat press for my merch he bought me. He would, you know, pay for my gas, my travel, all of that stuff. But he would always be like, man, because you know, you're not really that funny. You know, that's why, you know, whatever. But since I haven't had the, but that relationship don't count because that wasn't like my man. We are like committed in a monogamous relationship. But so I haven't had the opportunity. But what I will say is that I think that since doing comedy, like I've had men approach me because they saw me at a show. So it's not like I meet men in real life and have to tell them I'm a comedian. So maybe like two or three times I've had men come on to me because they saw me at a show. But I think they like the idea, the Apple Brown Betty, you know, I'm cool, I'm funny. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, regular bitch. I do regular bitch shit. I like regular bitch shit. I don't like regular bitch shit. So like, I've never had to like bridge that divide between the two. The men who have approached me because they've seen me at a show.
Uh-oh, is it me or...
Is that my phone? It's the nigga Hayden fucking up her Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Wow, what a surprise. What a surprise. Okay, we'll come back to Auntie. What about you two?
Oh, y'all hear me?
Are you back now?
Are you back? Okay, you were frozen. Okay, go ahead. Oh. So you have what we call in the business chuckle fuckers. People that want...
That's what sound like groupies.
She go. Oh no!
See how, and that's just how them niggas do too. They be
always
go show ass. Next thing you know, they.
I would say I actually take offense to niggas like telling me I'm not funny. Like that's offensive to me. That's like telling a chef they can't cook. You know, a Michelin star chef that they can't cook. I feel like it's a power play. I feel like it's a power mm-hmm. move. To try to like demean whatever I have going on. Speaking of, you know, I hate to tell me a joke as niggas. Oh, once you tell God. Them that you're a stand up, you tell me a joke. I'd be like, you're the fucking joke.
Exactly.
Not realizing comedians are mean. We're not generally like nice people. Like we get on stage and we talk about people and we talk about shit. And just because I'm funny, and that's why it works, right? Because I'm telling jokes with a straight face. Y'all are like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that shit. It's so funny. I'm dead ass serious. And then you got the ones that do want to joke with you, with joke, oh, you're goddamn, da 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 da. But then when you start flaming them, it's like,
girl,
I can't believe you even said that. Nah, nigga, we joking, right? We funny, right? We trying to be funny. Let's be funny, because I'm fucking hilarious. I literally get paid for this shit. So let's do it. Type shit. So, you know, dating as a comedian, or when you do tell somebody that you're a comedian, like that's when the icks come in for me, because it's always a, you know, they expect you to be a comedian like all the time, like
all the time,
showtime, all the time, and I'm just not that type of person. I'm a regular person. I have real feelings. I'm not a fucking show pony. Like I don't want to joke with you, and if I do joke, it's gonna be something. Why you got them boneless ass shoes on?
Yeah. Apple, are you back? Can you hear us?
We having a windstorm, so I think that was messing up the feng shui. It was you know,
we thought it was Raymond Earl that came in and turned the Wi-Fi on.
That nigga was back there. Oh, you want to talk shit, huh?
You want to talk shit? You want to talk shit?
Shut this bitch off.
What I was saying was I've never had to tell nobody I'm a comedian because I don't meet men in real life. Like that was my real experience. Like men don't approach me on the street. I don't get men in my DMs often. So like the men that have approached me since I started comedy, they see because they saw me at a show or they see me online. You know what I mean? So, but I've never had to tell nobody I'm a comedian because those two paths just don't intersect for me.
Yeah. So you have like I was saying, you have what we call chuckle fuckers. So people who see you are funny and are drawn to you. And so you have groupies.
You know groupies. I don't think I have groupies yet, but I don't even think that men are drawn to me because I'm funny. Cause like, you know, y'all, like my social media content, a lot of times men can appreciate it in a different way because I know niggas, you know, which is why I'm single is a big part of it. But men feel like I hear them and I understand them and they feel validated. So they like me for the titty milk aspect, you know, because their mamas was mean to them and they can't talk to the bitch they got at home. So they want, you know, that's why they're drawn to me, you know, but I don't think it's necessarily because I'm so funny.
Fair enough. Okay. You up, Kira? What's up?
All right. So boom. I think I'm nope. I tell them off the rip because I don't. Hold on, y'all. Hold on, one second.
I think she over there, mommy.
Mommy duty calls.
Yeah, I think she's over there being a mom.
And don't touch the iron, man, down there. That's why I got to tell them off the rip I'm a comedian, because otherwise they're going to think I'm serious, and I just want them to know I'm just playing. I feel like I'm just playing as my safety net. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, mm-hmm. But yet, I tell them all the time, I start with that because I'm just a jokey person.
Okay. And
it kind of helps soften the blows that I give them if they know that I'm just a fool at heart. You know what I'm saying? It's all love, but so if it's something like I was dating this one guy, I don't even think I got to the point of dating because he texted me Grand Rising and I blocked him. I would bring that negativity over here. I don't need that type of negativity. Them Grand Rising clean niggas. Mm-mm. But yeah, I tell them off the rip. Is that it usually comes out anyway in the whole "what do you do? What's your favorite color?" type of shit in the beginning.
I'm so tired of asking answering what my favorite color is. What difference do it make, nigga? So granted, fair enough. Everybody has their own story. I know that some women comics really do. Some women comics try to keep it kind of closed. I'll add a story since this is a storytelling podcast. One dude I was talking to last year, he kept dropping hints that he knew I was a comic. But unless you say something to me, I'm not going to, like, I need a direct question. Mm-hmm. So he was asked me one day, he was like, "Hey, so what do you do for fun? Like, what's a talent you have that nobody would think you would have?" And I was like, "I don't know. I can knit. I'm really good at knitting.
I crochet
pretty well, like not just hair, like for real." And he was like, "Oh, okay." Then the next day he was like, "So I saw you on my TikTok." I was like, "Oh my God."
But why?
I was like, "Yes, I do stand up."
That's weird. It's
super weird. And I don't know how to deal with it. But also thank you, TikTok, for putting me in people's algorithms. So I'm not gonna complain, right? So I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm just a little stand up." He was like, "Oh, okay. Well, it says that you're on tour with Nicole Byer." I was like, "Yeah, I'm Nicole Byer's opener on tour." He was like, "Wow, she's really funny." I was like, "Yeah, she is." So we're talking about other shit. And he was like, "Wait, was she on that show, Grand Crew?" And I was like, "Yep, she was on that show." Anyway, he was like, "Oh man, I would really love to meet her or get her autograph. When I tell you, my pussy dried up like a raisin in the sun." I have never been more disgusted with a man in my life to ask my boss, essentially, for an autograph. This is also a man that could not afford our date. Like, he had to cancel our date because he couldn't afford it.
And he told you it was because he couldn't afford it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's my thing. Like, if you can't, if you have a money problems, that's none of my business, right?
None of my business.
If I'm having money problems, it's none of your business. If we just meeting, you know, like if your car got repo, if you're supposed to go on a date and you want to go, Uber there first. Get there early. Just be waiting outside from, you know what I'm saying? You know,
like a gentleman.
My car, then call your Uber. It's none of my business what you're going through. That's fucking disgusting. But yeah. I can top that story. So when we talked about the men who meet us, like as comedians. So, you know, I work in DC a lot, you know. So I'm up there and this guy came to my show, you know, after the show, you shake hands. Thanks for coming out. Oh, you're so funny. That's great. He came to see me twice in DC. Then he drove to Richmond, 100 miles away, and showed up at one of my Richmond shows. I saw him again another couple. So this man came to see me about 5 or 6 times. And after the last time, I was like, okay, you know, nobody's that big of a fan that's never met you, right?
Right.
So after this, like, 5th or 6th show, he comes to me afterwards and he asked me, you know, if I wanted to go to dinner. And I'm like, oh, shit, here it go. You know what I'm saying? And this is not nobody I ever would have fucked.
Oh,
and in any dimension of life would I ever fuck this nigga, right? But so he's asking me to dinner and it's cringy as fuck. And but luckily my friends were there. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, I got plans and I'm so flattered, you know, whatever, whatever. But I'm going with my friends and I got out of there. But I knew I was going to have to revisit the topic because what I didn't say was never in a million years would I fuck you, right? So time goes on. He hits my DMs like the next weekend, like, hey, when you coming back in town? And I'm like, okay, let me have this conversation. Actually, I have a show on such and such date, and I appreciated your dinner offer, but I'm not looking to date, you know, in one of my, you know, somebody I meet, you know, just I've made it real nice, patched it up. No, you're not getting no pussy from me. He was like, oh, well, I was gonna ask you if you would be interested in, are you ready for this? If you'd be interested in a casual, polyamorous relationship
with love it.
My girlfriend.
Love it.
Hey, Liz, so you got to go in and add some gunshot.
Casual and polyamorous. Because I have a problem with the whole idea of casual sex. There's nothing casual about sex. You know what I'm saying? We might not be committed. We might not be monogamous. But there is nothing casual about you putting your body inside mine. There's nothing casual about that, right? And a casual polyamorous. So you've been driving hundreds of miles, following me around. You could have DM'd me that shit up front. Because if something was going to sway me to fuck you and your bitch, it's not going to be you were sitting in the crowd. I have never been so disgusted. And then going back to like, and I'm not trying to talk about the way he looked, because there was nothing wrong with him. He just, you know, the nigga in school that always had high waters and New Balances. It was giving back.
The regular New Balances, the ones with just the N, not the NB.
Just the N. They're white. They could have walked on the moon. Souls this big.
Yeah. The mall walkers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would have been less insulted if he tried to battle pussy outright. I could respect that.
You know what I mean?
I could respect that.
Do you
have seen
a casual polyamorous relationship is insane. Have y'all ever been propositioned for anything? I said on the Calls podcast, but I'll say it here. I get propositioned a lot for interracial threesomes. Not really sure what that's about. But do y'all ever get propositioned for things?
I'm not going to hold you. I got somebody asked me to do something for them. And honestly, I don't know how he found my page or what, but we got mutual friends and, you know, he's been to other shows or whatever, I could tell. But this nigga asked me, and I would say nigga, but he was one of our pale brethren.
They niggas too.
Yeah. And this nigga asked me to he wanted to pay me to come watch him work out naked. He wanted me to just sit there and watch him work out. He was going to give me like $300 to just sit there and watch him run around. Like, I haven't been to his house or nothing like that, but I swear I was like, on one hand, I was like, shit, that's about the show right there. That's show money.
How long is your routine?
I mean, are we talking push-ups or are we talking like
burpees?
Are we talking pull-ups? Because pull-ups is a little too much, but you're doing push-ups?
Like, are you going to hold the weight with your penis or with your hands? Like, it's just
going right.
So, yeah, I had to look at the terms and conditions in the fine print with this nigga. But yeah, that was probably the weirdest thing that I have ever been propositioned. Yeah. And it's even weirder that I low-key like considered it.
That's weird. You got babies to feed.
Hey, it was like the 28th. Okay. The first was right there.
Yeah.
I had a white dude pay me $300 one time to give me some head.
And you did it?
Do tell.
But yeah, I did it. And matter of fact, look, this is so crazy. This is 100 years ago, a long time ago, when I had daycare to pay. Okay?
Hello. So, hello. Check.
We can hear you.
He worked with me, and I have a rule against date people I work with anyway. And I ain't gonna say his name because he's a real person, but he got a name that sounds black. And so when I saw we was hired, and he had a black name, I was like, oh, okay, we got a brother coming. He was not a brother. And he asked to date me several times, and I was like, no, again, somebody else I would never fuck. But he was very persistent. And so fine, I'm like, you know, I'm going to live a little. I go out on a date, but you got to meet me at a job. You can't come to my house and pick me up. Meet me at the job, and we'll ride wherever we're going together. He pulled up bumping. He had his head turned backwards, and he was bumping Chris Brown. That Love It, Dove It. He was blasting it, right? So I'm like, oh, my gosh, what I'm doing. Anyway, so we went on a date. We had a fabulous time. End up going back to his apartment to have some drinks.
Girl fucking with our internet again.
Nah, that's the white boy now.
That's the white man.
That is the white man.
Can y'all hear me?
We can hear you now.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
I had sort of a weird experience dating one time. Actually, just recently, I hope my new nigga don't see this, but because I met this. All right, so look, my hot water went out. I called my landlord. I'm like, yo, my hot water's out. And my landlord owns like a company that does all HVAC construction, all types of stuff. So I don't ever have to worry about that type of thing. Anyway, I call my landlord. He dispatches one of his guys out. So when his guys came and so he knocks on my door, and I'm like, oh, okay. He's pleasant on the eyes, I would say. He's from Jersey. So like I don't know, somehow a northern swag to me. You can frown all you want, Liz. You can have
I like country boys. I like
nigga. Okay.
Country boys are cool too. It's just something manly about a New York swag or a northern swag that I love. Plus, my family's from New York, but anyway. So he came to my door. He fixed he went upstairs to the water heater or whatever, fixed it. And then we exchanged numbers, and we were talking since then for about probably like 2 weeks. Now, this was like the day before Christmas that my water went out and he came. So we were talking, and then long story short, I ran out of gas. I'm just such a run out of gas queen. Like, I'm always a damsel in distress. Now, he came and saved me. And then, that night he had like so many Christmas gifts to wrap. So I came and wrapped all of his gifts for his kids, and it was really special. So yeah, it was really cool until he got sick and turned into a bitch. I don't know what it is about men when they are sick; they turn into old
babies, big babies,
Teletubby ass bitches. Boy, if you don't blow your nose and get the fuck on. So yeah, I was dating him, and that was probably my most recent dating experience. You get the weird shit, but that was probably the most. I would say I was like dedicated too soon. Like, why am I wrapping all your baby gifts on Christmas Eve? Like,
yeah, that's you sent so sweet. The wrong signal. You sent the wrong signal.
Too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will say, I do have like some dating horror stories. Just one last week, dude picked me up, and like as soon as he picked me up, he was like, "Yeah, I just want you to know I'm kind of hurt right now."
You mean money wise?
As in money?
I was like, "What, you had a long day at work? Your knees or something?" He was like, "Nah." He was like, nah, Amazon just hit my account for $260, da 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 da. I said, okay, you can take me back to my car.
Yeah.
Circle back around. Just circle back around.
Yeah.
we can I'll smoke with you real quick, and then we don't got to do this. We don't have to do this. And then I, like, you know, started doing dating apps, and I was on this Hinge streak for a while. I was on this Hinge streak because I was meeting, like, a lot of nice guys on Hinge and things like that.
I remember. And,
so I went on a date with a guy I met from Hinge, and it was a really fun date. It was like a day date, and I love day dates because y'all really get to spend, like, the whole day together, get to do, like, an array of different things. Y'all getting drunk, getting to know each other, getting all loose as a goose. And so, of course, I ended up drunk. We ended up back at his place playing Uno, things like that. One thing led to another, and we had sex. And his penis was huge. I'm talking about, like,
big, I love.
A big, huge penis. Huge. Like, but we had sex, and I'm like, oh, that was, you know, that was cool. Like, we laying up and shit, and it was time to bend it over, bust it open again. And then bend it over, bust it open again. And then I was like, can we do something else? Like, can we like, okay. So we ended up going to the movies. So we at the movies chilling. He wanna play with it in the movies. Sir, I am demolished at this point. Like, I can go with the best of us. You know what I'm saying? I can go with the best of us. I can go. I can walk, okay? And he wanted to go again. We got back. Like, this guy basically fucked me for 14 hours. With this big old schlong. And you know what he told me? The next day, I felt like I was in labor. Like, my uterus was, like, literally, like, hanging down in between my thighs. Like, I could feel it. And you know what this guy told me? He told me, if you can't handle it, maybe you should bring a homegirl to tag in.
I would have showed them pictures. Which, pick one. Pick a bitch. Who you want?
Yeah, okay, come on. Choose her. Choose her.
Lisa, Keisha,
Tonda, Rhonda. I'm a child of God. You ain't fucking the whole one on the other side.
I literally blocked that man on everything. It hurt so bad. I was hurting so bad, y'all. Like, I blocked that man on everything. I did. I blocked him on everything.
Just out of curiosity, what was his name? No, no big deal. Just wondering.
Dominique.
He was great.
Tall. He was tall, too. You know, sometimes tall dudes is like, it's a give or take with tall guys.
It is a give or take with tall dudes. Yeah,
but
for sure.
I was not expecting it to be that big. It was huge, and he was so freaky. Like, it would have been great if he wasn't a maniac. Like, it would have been great if he wasn't amazing.
But you know what? Something about men with real big penises, like, they don't get the opportunity to fuck like that. So if he run up on somebody like you who don't mind, you know what I mean? And you took it that first time, he's like, well, shit, he got to get what he can get. Because the story of his life is, oh, stop, don't, ouch, no. You know what I'm saying?
Tore my coochie up, okay?
Girl, better you than me.
I literally needed a bitch to tag a man.
Girl, if my plight was his dick is too big, I would certainly take that over the shit I've been getting. I was dating one nigga I met on Black. Y'all know the app Black?
Mm-hmm.
She talking about men, but you gonna do Black.
I think he's gonna say something. So, can you hear me? Oh, here
we
go.
We can hear you.
Me see me yet? There we go. So I met this guy on Black, and we started talking. We were talking for a while, and then I finally, like, he called me, and he was so cute too. He had gym pictures up. I mean, his body was it wasn't like OD muscular, but it was like, okay, I could do this. You know, he ain't too muscular to where I feel like a fat bitch, but he ain't too, you know what I'm saying, out of shape either. So it was perfect, and the conversation was very mature. And everything was just so perfect. I'm wondering, like, how are you single right now? He didn't have any kids. And I'm fishing for, like, what is the fuck up with this? Like, there's no reason. Mm-hmm. Somebody left you out here wandering alone. You know, when you see a good movie.
Where's your mom?
Take you home.
Where your mom at?
Where your mom at?
So we started talking to everything. And he finally called me and I answered the phone and he was like, I said, oh my God, that is right there. This nigga is
stuttering.
I cannot things that like certain things. I'm not that mature to ignore. You know, I'm sorry. It just is what it is. And that's one of the reasons why I got to tell you I'm a comedian, because there's no way a comedian gonna date a stutterer.
Yeah,
stuttering ass nigga. Especially, you tried to conceal the shit. Like, I won't go find you. Be mute. Well, I was like, you like undercover stutter. Undercover stutter.
Talking for 3 months.
Not the undercover brother.
Got on the phone and that nigga sounded like a sprinkler system. Enough.
I'm so petty. I make a beat to your ass.
Wow.
I'm like, woo. I'm on like a cop car.
Okay, so my final question, because as very busy comics, because all of us work, right? Do you feel like the time commitment to comedy kind of takes over your place of being able to have a relationship or date successfully? Keeping in mind, all of us also, Alpha Brown Betty is a mom, but she don't have the same mom commitments, time commitments as the rest of us, right?
She put in her time already.
Just a little bit, right. So do you feel like, as busy as we are as mothers and caregivers, and then stand-up comedy almost comes immediately after that, does that take over the time you have to date? Because I can honestly tell y'all the amount of times I have to be like, oh no, I'm not busy that, I'm not free that weekend, that weekend, that weekend. I'm free like on Wednesday on the last day of the month. Do you feel like that takes it, so that makes it a little more difficult?
I mean, I would imagine it would. Like I said, I'm not dating nobody right now, but like if somebody, you know, saw this worldwide global phenomenon of a podcast and was like, her, I want her, right?
Yeah.
That would happen to me. Like, I'm a person who I prioritize my romantic relationships, you know, much times to my own detriment. So, like, now with the trajectory I'm on, I wouldn't let a man or my relationship hurt my career. I'm just not in a space where when I was younger, I let niggas fuck all type of shit up for me. So I'm too grown to let a man, like, dominate my life to where it hurts my career, but I do still prioritize my romantic relationships. And I think that surprised people. Like, if you know my persona, when men find out that I'm actually, like, I'm super feminine in my relationships, I'm super submissive in my relationships. Like, I don't run behind no man, but I walk real fast. I will walk real fast behind him. So, like, I think that I would find a way to make it work. I wouldn't let comedy. If it was somebody that was, you know, intentional and serious, and this is going to be something, then I do prioritize my man. I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say the same. I would say I actually try to date people that are in entertainment in some way, shape, or form. So that way they have like a good understanding of why I am the way I am, why I move the way I move, why I have to create content, why I have to go to this show, why I'm in the studio, why, you know what I'm saying? Certain things like that. It doesn't always work out the best, because you end up running into like colleagues and comrades, and then when it doesn't work out, things become like super awkward. I have a story about that. I don't know if we have time for that, but essentially I try to kind of date people that are of like mind, so I don't have to over explain like why my ambition and why I'm doing what I'm doing and what I'm trying to do and what I'm doing.
Yeah, of course, anything that you are committed to is going to take time from something else, you know, especially when you have multiple commitments. Like, I'm doing comedy, I'm a mom, and I'm in school full time.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, I'm just trying not to get put the fuck out of my house. So, you know, that's a whole experience.
Yeah. It's always in season.
That's it. Get put the fuck out. I definitely try to make time if I take you serious. You know what I mean? If you show me that you are serious, and I try to like date people that also got shit to do. Like, it's never gonna work if I always got shit to do and you never have anything. Sitting on your ass and you don't have no.
You should be too busy to notice I'm busy.
Exactly, exactly. So, and yeah, like now I talk to a trucker. He drives trucks and the most this nigga want to do is stay on the phone for the whole ride. So I'm cool with that. You know? Exactly. Stories and yeah. So it actually, this is the first time something is working out. I hate to put it that way, but
I love that.
I think,
hey, put insurance on that nigga immediately.
Exactly.
Get you some showings. If you love me, sign right here.
Yep. I think the older you get and the more mature you become in dating, it really becomes more of what you can deal with from them. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It ain't really about the good, because anybody can answer your call and cash app you, and you know what I'm saying? But it's the bad that I have to deal with. And if driving trucks all day and you having a snack of tooth at the bottom is all you got, then hey, we're gonna work
at
on
the
that.
Bottom, not the top.
It's at the bottom, you know what I'm saying?
I had a dude that was here with it.
It was just like, yeah. It's at the bottom. It's looking like that. It's looking like the like a New York City.
It's just a tall tooth.
It's looking real skyscraper.
Like, it's always gonna be something. Like Kira said, I just feel like it's always gonna be something. I feel like you just have to find somebody that you're willing to put up with their whatever their flaws are, while as you they put up with yours. I had a dude that was too much of a dad. And
yeah,
you mean to you or to his own kids,
to his own daughter? Like, we're in the middle of having sex and you're literally like answering the phone and she's calling you, or going to the door when she's knocking on the door, and just
I hate a nigga that's a good dad. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't have time for that shit.
I was waiting on somebody to break the ice, but I love
you. Time for you to be a good father. I need you to be a good father to my child. I don't need you to be a good father to your kid.
Ain't no room for you to be a good daddy and a good stepdaddy. Like, some
that's not how it works. My father chose his alternative family, and it worked out great for them. I need you to be over here taking out trash, putting together this Minnie Mouse kitchen. I don't need you to be over there. Yeah, my daughter's sick. Okay, she's gonna be sick tomorrow. What's the problem?
I love a nigga on contract. You done already left your kids and you here on contract, so you done already did what was necessary for you to be present in my life. You done already left your kids in a whole nother state. Love a nigga on the contract.
Well, this is the advantage to like, you know, my kids being older and stuff, because like now I feel like it's my time to shine on niggas. When I had, you know, my kids now 19, 21, 23. When they were 1, 3, and 5, won't no man taking me serious. They're trying to be no stepdad. So now I get to look at niggas the same way. You know what I mean? So like, my kids grown, your kids should be grown, and they should be on their shit. Because if you got daughters, you know, first of all, I like old street niggas, like retired street niggas. It was all absentee dads. They was in prison and shit. So now their kids don't even halfway fuck with them, and it's not his fault. So I can still get into heaven. Okay? I'm still going to get into heaven, because all your kids want is a couple of dollars. You slide them a couple of dollars, slide me a couple of dollars. And like,
that's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's me with my daddy.
Come in. If he got daughters and they don't have their shit together and they start having babies and everything, then that absentee father guilt gonna kick in. And if I ain't raising no step kids, I damn sure ain't raising no step grandkids. That's what I'm not going to do.
I ain't nobody coming that way. Being a step granny is crazy.
Step granny
come on now.
I'm already, riddle me this. Y'all smart. Y'all all room full of smart bitches. Look, my ex-husband, right, got 3 kids with me. He did not help me raise them. He got 3 additional kids. This nigga's pushing 50 with a 2, 4, and 5-year-old, right? Their mom has passed away. Okay, my kids are excellent big sisters to his little kids. They welcome in my house anytime. What them kids supposed to call me?
Miss Apple.
So you see why I ain't gonna have a step grand nothing? I got a house full of nigga kids that look just like mine.
You like a pre-mother. You like a pre-mother.
Exactly.
I'm in the pre-granny. A pre-granny. That's insane.
Died on him. I can't believe that bitch died on him.
That bitch ain't shit. That bitch should have told you she was gonna die.
That's my biggest fear.
Not you remarry and the bitch died.
So the bitch died. Oh my God, Liz, please edit this whole part out.
Absolutely not. Keeping it all. I want to thank y'all so much for doing this podcast. I appreciate it. I don't know when it's coming. It's probably coming out next month. I have to sit with the editor and we'll get it all together. But I want to say thank y'all and I appreciate y'all. Please give people your socials. Obviously, this won't come out in time enough to see shows this month. But I know y'all post flyers, so please give everybody where they can find you.
TASTEEKAKEZ 2_U.
And what's that on Instagram?
Yes, Instagram.
Gotcha.
Yep, you can find me at Kiera Denise, just how it's spelled right there. KERADENISE. On all social media, that's Instagram, Snapchat, and all that shit.
You be on Snapchat.
I don't.
I love a Snap.
Where that shit came from.
I've never been on Snapchat.
I have Snapchat.
Facebook, Instagram, Gmail.
Yes, Facebook and Instagram are my two heaviest traffic.
I like the filters but on Snapchat.
Snapchat has the best filters. Absolutely. It's funny.
I gotta start learning to use those things.
And I'm going to be putting me on.
Where can we find you, Apple?
I'm Apple Brown Betty on Instagram and just Brown Betty on Facebook. I don't know how old your audience is, Liz, but if you're old like me, it's Brown Betty on Facebook.
Sounds good to me. I appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I wish you well in your dating journeys or not dating journeys.
And thank you. Yeah. You're the first person I talked to in a long time who has had sex even further ago than I did, Liz. So,
okay, thank you so much. That's really, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, y'all.
Thank you. That hurt my feelings. No big deal. Okay, bye. Love y'all.
Austin, let me go wash off. I got to go take a whole bath right now.
I feel like